David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 203, Spanish Carmada. Yesterday, I left you on a bit of a cliffhanger. Well, I suppose it wasn't really that much of a cliffhanger. I mean, I ended by saying that we had cause to fear for our lives. However, I assume that you've already realised that we clearly aren't dead, given that I'm writing this dollop. Unless, of course, I've found a way to somehow dollop from beyond this physical realm, and I'm blogging from the afterlife. Yes, I may be in paradise, reunited with all my deceased loved ones, but I've told them that they'll have to wait showing me around heaven, and that we'll have to have a catch-up later, because I've got a daily blog to maintain. And death is, quite frankly, no excuse for shirking. In fairness, my dead relatives won't have to wait all that long. I mean, what does a few minutes matter when you've got all of eternity to play with? Or perhaps I have died, and my laptop has been recovered. Someone has then managed to guess my laptop password, find that day's unpublished dollop that I wrote just before my death, then guess the password for my website and publish the dollop. But if that is the case, then how am I writing this? Unless I realised that death was imminent and hurriedly managed to type this before death came. I could have written my last will and testament, or a final message to my friends and family, but instead I chose to write one more dollop before I died. But I think you know that this isn't the case, and that at the time of writing, I am still alive. So yesterday's cliffhanger wasn't really that dramatic, because I'm clearly not dead. Sorry if you didn't realise and you're now disappointed. So, when we parted company yesterday, the five of us were in a car heading to the industrial Canadian town of Trail. There was me, the other two young'uns, as well as a couple of hitchhikers who we'd just picked up. As soon as they got in our car, a rather severe storm began. Maybe not severe by Canadian standards, but certainly bigger and more dramatic than British storms. The whole place went dark. The car lights came on, and we cautiously crept forwards. Our car was probably moving more in a side-to-side direction, what with the wind shaking it, than it was going forwards. Our two hitchhikers began to murmur to each other in Spanish. They then both laughed, in what I describe as a sinister manner. But it might have just been the foreboding atmosphere outside was making me feel like the situation inside was also circumspect. There was more unintelligible whispering, another laugh, and then, "We know a shortcut," said the girl. She said this in English, just in case you were thinking that, though my Spanish isn't good enough to know the majority of words, I just so happen to know the Spanish for "we know a shortcut." "It's probably just easier to follow the sat-nav," countered Michael, not wanting to start going off the beaten track. There was more Spanish murmurings, and then, "It'll be easier in the storm," said the girl. This time, she did say this in Spanish. It just so happens that the one Spanish phrase that I know is, "It'll be easier in the storm." No, I'm being hilarious there. She did actually say that in English. But I had you fooled for a moment there, didn't I? Go on, admit it, you gullible idiots. "Continue straight," said the sat-nav, as if it was trying to warn us against trusting these two new passengers. "The sat-nav is saying to go straight. This route seems pretty simple," Michael retorted, which seemed a fairly logical argument, as what could be easier than simply travelling in a straight line? The Spanish mutterings recommenced. They sounded a little bit more urgent now. There was a flurry of words, and then they seemed to come to an agreement on something. Then there was some shuffling around, while a girl tried to get something from her bag. Just then, there was a massive clap of thunder and the car jolted. "Oh my God, it is clear what's happening here," I thought. "These people are trying to kill us. They've invaded our car with the sole purpose of killing us, conquering our vehicle, and then taking our possessions. It's the Spanish Carmada." They tried their best to get us off the beaten track so as to kill us without drawing attention to what was going on. But their plan had backfired due to Michael's opinion that we should continue following the sat-nav's literally straightforward directions. And so they just had another conversation with each other along the lines of, "It's very foggy and dark. We could probably get away with just killing them here and now, and no one would see." And the two of them had agreed to this plan, and the girl was now rummaging in her bag for what? A gun? A knife? An axe? The other two were too busy trying to concentrate on the road ahead to notice what was going on. It was down to me to restrain our two assailants and thus save our lives. My life and the life of Sean and Michael lay solely in my hands. I braced myself, ready to act. Her hand came out of her bag and she was holding a map. Upon consulting the map, it seemed as if the girl was correct, and that there was an easier and shorter way after all. And so we changed our route, which took us out of the storm and onto a better road. Now that the danger, both real and imaginary, had passed, we all fell into conversation. Alexandra was from Mexico. Erin was from Spain. They were both in their early 30s. They'd only known each other for 3 months. Erin had been in Mexico with work, and on a night out, he'd met Alexandra. They spent the night talking, drinking, laughing and dancing together. Afterwards, Erin went home with Alexandra. And what they spent the rest of the night doing is none of our business. Although, the morning after, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. Erin spent the rest of his time in Mexico with Alexandra, staying in her house. A week later, it was time for him to return to Spain. Except, he wasn't keen on going, and she wasn't keen on letting him. 2 weeks later, he'd quit his job and he was back in Mexico with Alexandra. 2 weeks after that, Alexandra had quit her job, and she and Erin were in Canada. And they've been in Canada for the last 2 months, sleeping in a tent, hitchhiking from place to place, looking for manual work such as cherry picking. They don't know what the future will hold, how long this will last, or whether they'll stay together, or just go their separate ways eventually, choosing to live by the philosophy of living purely in the present moment. But for the last 2 months, they've spent all their time in each other's company, living together, sleeping together, travelling together, and working together, just the two of them. 3 months ago, they didn't even know of each other's existence. The original plan had been to drop them off just outside of Trail, where they would continue hitchhiking to their final destination, a further 100 miles down the road. But when they heard that we were musicians and that we were doing a free concert tonight in Trail, they decided to change their plans and come to Trail with us in order to watch the gig. At the gig, we mentioned to the audience that there were some hitchhiker friends of ours wanting to travel into Creston, in case there was anybody out there who might be able to help them. There are other things to tell you about Tuesday night's concert, as it was rather surreal, but I shall save that for tomorrow. This dollop has already gone on for over 1,300 words. Today's dollop is my last dollop at the age of 30. But will I make it to 31? That's another cliffhanger. You'll have to come back tomorrow and find out. Oh, I'm a master of creating dramatic tension.